You're listening to Local Motion, KVNF's weekly public affairs show. I'm your host this week, Audrey McCabe. In February, we aired a brief interview with Alita Swallow, a local criminal defense attorney whose client was arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers while leaving the Montrose County Courthouse. In the interview, we touched on the questionable legality of these types of arrests. Since then, we've spoken to local advocacy groups and tried to better understand ICE activity in the region, as well as how state laws govern federal agents. We learned that there is little consensus on whether or not federal agents are required to abide by state laws while carrying out their federal duties. The subject is murky, and the legal ambiguity has consequences across the Western Slope. In today's Local Motion, you'll hear more from attorney Alita Swallow, as well as from Beatriz Garcia from the Colorado Immigrants' Rights Coalition, and with Karen Sherman Perez from the Hispanic Affairs Project. I hope you'll stick around for the next half hour to hear what they had to say. But if you're not able to catch the whole episode now on air, no worries. You can always listen by looking for Local Motion under the News tab at kvnf.org or by searching for KVNF Local Motion on Spotify. Let's start with Alita's story.
I'll start with my client being sentenced in open court yesterday. He was sentenced to probation, and then he went up to the probation department to fill out intake paperwork, and it took a while, and his driver was not able to stay that full time. And I said, you know what? You're going 4 to 5 minutes away. I'm here anyway. I'll drive you. Not the best decision, and not the one that is best practice, but one that I've made before and one that realistically I'll probably make again. We loaded up into my car in the courthouse parking lot, and we got to the stoplight near the courthouse, crossed Townsend, and turned on to North Park Avenue. We turned on to North Park and had probably been driving 2 minutes when I noticed some lights and I think a siren behind me, and it looked like there were a lot of cars with lights. And my first thought was, oh, somebody's trying to get around me. The police are trying to get around me. Something's happening. I'll pull over. And I pulled over. There were at least 3 vehicles. I think there were 4 altogether. Agents in tan vests got out of the vehicles and approached my car. For the record, I've got up-to-date registration. I was not speeding. All my lights are working. To the best of my knowledge, there was no reasonable suspicion to stop me. And they yelled at me to roll down the windows, which I began to do. And then an agent opened my passenger door, which is where my client was seated. The door was unlocked. They didn't break into it. And the agent started to unbuckle my client and essentially say, come with us. What's interesting is they didn't ask any questions. They didn't ask for my client's name. They didn't ask for my name. They didn't ask for my license. They simply took him away. Another agent was at my driver's side door, I believe 2 agents actually, and I started to get out of the vehicle and started to try to explain that I was an attorney. And I said, do you have a warrant? They said, we can't tell you because you're not the immigration attorney, correct? And I said, correct. I am a criminal defense attorney. Eventually, they showed me a document and allowed me to take a picture of it. It appeared to be what we call an ICE detainer, a document signed by an ICE officer, not by a judge, that had my client's name on it. I asked where they were taking him. They said they couldn't tell me because I was not the immigration attorney. However, they did accept my business card when I insisted that they take it and give it to him. I tried to ask additional questions. They cited some federal code provisions. And then they left, and it happened really fast. I think my client was gone within 40, 45 seconds. And then 2 agents stayed on scene to talk to me, and then they left. And the whole thing was over in under 2 minutes, I'd say.
Alita's story made us want to learn more about ICE activity in our community. So we reached out to the Western Slope-based Hispanic Affairs Project. The group advocates at the local, state, and federal level for pro-immigrant policy changes that protect and increase access to resources for immigrants. We asked Karen Sherman Perez from the organization about what kind of ice activity has been occurring across the Western Slope.
Probably in the last 6 to 9 months, we've seen some pretty consistent behavior. One, which you're familiar with, that just happened last week, is a lot of individuals who have to show up for local district court. They go to their court date. When they're leaving, usually in transit home, they are stopped and detained by ICE. We've also heard about many individuals who've been detained in the Montrose County Jail who are eligible for bond. And when they go to pay their bond or ask about bond, they're told that they have an ICE hold and that they should just forget about it. Or they go and pay their bond, and when they actually do that and they're free to leave, ICE is there and detains them. And then we've just also heard several situations of individuals who are being detained at home. ICE comes to their home. They don't know their rights. They open the door and they get detained. And oftentimes, innocent bystanders at home also get detained. These are usually people who have some sort of arrest warrant out for them, or individuals who are on their way to work or returning from work are stopped and detained. I'm sure there's a lot of other scenarios, but those are kind of the trends that we've been hearing about over the last several months.
We then spoke to Beatriz Garcia from the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition. CIRC is a statewide membership-based coalition of immigrant, faith, labor, youth, community, business, and ally organizations that work to improve the lives of immigrants and refugees by making Colorado a more welcoming, immigrant-friendly state. Here's what she had to say about ICE activity in the region.
It has been very active the last year, and I say very active because considering that it's a small populated area, I think there has been a lot of activity. And specifically in Montrose, most of the detentions has been some court-related detention. Mm-hmm. So it's someone who has been in some sort of like court, through the court systems, they got to the appointment, and even before they get to the appointment, they get arrested. In other cases that I have seen too, is after the court appointment, they also get detained. So it's always between going to the appointment and after the appointment.
The information from both organizations was surprising, given that Swallow had mentioned in an Instagram post about the incident that Colorado law prohibits federal agents from arresting individuals coming to or leaving the courthouse. We asked her for more detail.
There's a Colorado law, and I can provide you with the citation, but it says civil detainers shall not happen when someone is on the premises of the courthouse or its environs, or coming to or going from the courthouse. So yes, there is a Colorado law prohibiting that.
Garcia gave us a similar answer.
There is a line in the state of Colorado where if you are going to court or you're going out of the court or you are during the court time, you are not able to get detained by federal agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is we're too far from being a reality to the law implementation.
Sherman Perez also stated that the arrest technically violated state law. She also told us that the Hispanic Affairs Project was involved in advocating for the law and why it matters.
And you are right. Colorado law that was passed, I believe, in 2020 prohibits civil arrests, including immigration-related detention at, around, in transit to and from the court. And so that was a law that we fought really hard to pass so that people could fulfill their legal requirements in showing up for court and have access to justice. So it's disappointing to see that that's happening.
I'd love for you to expand more on what you just said about this law being important and allowing people to show up for court. Why does that matter? Why did you fight for that?
Well, in our organization, we feel like everyone, regardless of immigration status, has certain rights and responsibilities when they're living in our communities, our state, and in the United States. And so having access to justice, having access to your day in court is really important, and fulfilling that obligation is equally important. And so if people are fearful they're not going to show up for court. And we know that if an individual doesn't show up for their court hearing, that triggers an arrest warrant. And, you know, so it's something that they need to do. But if people are fearful that they don't want to go to court, then our system isn't working somehow.
Swallow had a second concern regarding the arrest, involving the warrant.
There's a statute, a CRS statute, that says warrant, I'm putting warrant in quotations, but a document that purports to be a warrant or detainer request for an individual that is signed by an immigration officer and not by a judge is not a warrant under Colorado law. There is a statute saying exactly that. I think the scenario would be very different if we were in a different state, one, or if my client were walking on a street away, like somewhere that's miles from the courthouse and not arguably coming or going to court. But again, they stopped me, a Colorado resident, U.S. citizen, valid driver's license, all the things, and pulled my client out on the basis of a document signed by an ICE officer, not by a federal judge or a Colorado judge or anybody else who's a judge. And that is illegal under Colorado law.
We asked Garcia about the practice of ICE agents using warrants that had not been signed by a judge. She agreed with Swallow that the practice is illegal, but said that it's been used quite commonly along the Western Slope.
And I keep track of the detentions that happen on the Western Slope. In all of them, and I can say 100% of the ones I know, there has not been a valid judicial warrant. Zero. From the ones I know. So what that means is they're not actually doing all warrantless detentions. Sometimes that I know, there is no probable cause. And this arrest has been sometimes with this paper that you can read and say, warrant of arrest of an alien. And this is a paperwork that is signed by officers, immigration, federal offices, and they're not signed by a judge, what that means, like it's no judicial warrant. And that doesn't mean also that there is a probable cause to detain someone. Mm-hmm. Just because they have that paperwork, that doesn't mean that they have a probable cause.
Mm-hmm.
So they have these papers just to confuse people and allow them to get people arrested.
Mm-hmm.
But that never substitute a judicial warrant, which is signed by a judge. Like I say, there is zero detentions that I have seen that have a judicial warrant.
We asked Sherman Perez the same question, and she had a slightly more nuanced answer.
I think that's a difficult question right now. I think there's a lot of gray area when it comes to state immigration laws versus federal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, many people say that federal law overrides state laws. However, as far as having a judicially signed warrant to detain someone, I believe that there was a recent court decision in federal court that says no, a judicial warrant is required. I think there's also continued litigation around that issue. But as far as our understanding of the law is that ICE needs to have a judicially signed warrant in mm-hmm. order to detain someone. And especially if they're being held in a local jail, local facility, ICE just can't come in and pick them up. But that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Federal regulation of warrantless arrests is complicated. The issue was brought up recently in a lawsuit filed by the ACLU of Colorado. The Denver Post reports that in a hearing for the suit, U.S. District Court Judge R. Brooke Jackson seemed concerned about how warrants not signed by judges could be used to sidestep federal requirements regulating warrantless arrests. But he said the issue needed to be settled elsewhere, likely by a higher court. We'll dig a little deeper into this issue after the break. You're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. This week, we're diving into a conversation about ICE activity on Colorado's Western Slope.
After interviewing local criminal defense attorney Alita Swallow about her client being arrested by ICE while leaving court, we wanted to find out more about ICE arrests and the complicated legal questions that follow. We spoke to Beatrice Garcia from the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition and Karen Sherman Perez from the Hispanic Affairs Project. So far, we've learned that ICE officers have routinely arrested individuals coming to or leaving court, which is technically a violation of Colorado state law. Many of these arrests have also lacked a warrant signed by a judge, another violation of Colorado law. The arrest of Swallow's client ultimately brings up complicated questions about how federal agents, fulfilling their federal duties, are bound by state laws. In October of last year, Deputy White House Chief of Staff Stephen Miller stated this on Fox News.
To all ICE officers, you have federal immunity in the conduct of your duties. You have immunity to perform your duties, and no one, no city official, no state official, no illegal alien, no leftist agitator or domestic insurrectionist can prevent you from fulfilling your legal obligations and duties.
PolitiFact, a nonpartisan fact-checking project, rated this statement mostly false after speaking with experts on the subject. PolitiFact reported that generally, federal agents are protected from state prosecution if their actions were authorized by federal law and if the actions were necessary and proper for agents to fulfill their federal duties. If a state brought charges against federal immigration agents, the court would have to determine whether an officer reasonably would have thought the actions were necessary to carry out their federal duties. This does not provide ICE officers with blanket permission to commit crimes. This fact check is more relevant to criminal offenses that break a state's criminal code. But this reporting highlights how complicated and divisive the relationship is between ICE officers and state law. If Colorado's law preventing ICE officers from arresting individuals coming to or leaving court was written into the criminal code, there might be an argument for prosecution. But since it's not, there's little consensus on if the law binds federal agents. Swallow spoke in a social media post about her experience reporting the incident to the Montrose Police Department and having a conversation about state law and ICE with a local police officer.
I also walked into the Montrose Police Department yesterday afternoon and made a police report. I do want to share that the officer I met with was respectful and asked questions. However, what I did find to be upsetting was that the officer expressed that he was not aware of Colorado laws saying that somebody couldn't be detained by immigration coming to or going from the courthouse. And he also expressed that he wasn't aware of a law that said an immigration detainer request that's signed by an immigration agent as opposed to any sort of judge is not a warrant under Colorado law. There is a law saying that, and he just wasn't aware of it. I want to be clear, this particular officer was kind and respectful and handled things professionally. What I did find disheartening, though, was that he expressed that he was unaware of these laws, and that tells me that perhaps training is not happening the way it should be on what the law is, and that was disheartening.
KVNF reached out to the Montrose Police Department for comment. We were told that if we wanted information regarding immigration arrests, we would need to contact an ICE office. We clarified that we were interested in speaking to someone about how local law enforcement interacts with ICE, but again, we were told to reach out to ICE's Grand Junction or Denver offices. The Montrose Daily Press, however, did receive comment from Police Chief Blaine Hall. He stated that we were not involved in that incident, and ICE did not notify us that they were in the area, to my knowledge. He also said that police officers are trained as to what the role is and is not when it comes to federal immigration enforcement. According to the Daily Press, Hall claimed that the officer who took Swallow's complaint was only confused because it seemed she was discussing the state law as if it encompassed federal officers. Hall also stated, "I think there's a disconnect and some confusion with the roles of a federal officer and the role of a Colorado state or local peace officer. A local Colorado police officer cannot enforce federal civil immigration laws. A federal ICE agent can. They're acting under their federal authority." We did not have the opportunity to speak with Hall directly about his stance, but his comment to the Daily Press indicates that he does not believe state law encompasses federal officers. If this is the case, it contradicts the claims of Swallow and the advocacy groups we spoke with.
It also doesn't bring us any closer to understanding who is wrong and who is right. On the one hand, we have the interpretation that federal agents are required to follow Colorado's law while fulfilling their federal duties. On the other, we see arguments for varying degrees of immunity for federal agents. These two views directly contradict, and the legal ambiguity is playing out in our communities. ICE activity has clearly been on Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser's radar. His office launched a new complaint filing system designed to allow residents to report alleged misconduct by federal agents. The launch of the portal coincided with mass unrest and multiple shootings by ICE officers in Minneapolis. Weiser told Colorado Public Radio, "For us in Colorado, there was actually an earlier incident in Durango where someone was allegedly assaulted by an ICE agent that's now being investigated by the Colorado Bureau of Investigation. So this issue is not new to Colorado." Weiser also told CPR that as of February, his office had received upwards of 180 complaints relating to alleged misconduct by federal agents over the previous 6 months. However, his office had not initiated any prosecutions from those complaints as of CPR's reporting on February 12th. It seems that this portal is mostly meant to track incidents related to violence, but Swallow felt that the arrest of her client warranted a complaint.
I also filled out a form on the Colorado Attorney General's website to report federal immigration stuff that's going on in Colorado. So I filled that out and I submitted it.
Garcia told me that CERC has also been filing complaints with the Attorney General's office in the hopes that the reports will launch an investigation into the practices of ICE agents in Colorado.
In most of these occurrences, what we're trying to do is get the Attorney General in the investigation of the situation, because they are the ones that help making accountable or responsible for the ones that are not following the state law.
The arrest of Swallow's client also brought up a question being asked by Americans across the country. Are local police, county courts, or jails informing ICE of individuals' immigration statuses when they come into contact with the criminal justice system? Swallow informed me that in the state of Colorado, this would, in fact, be illegal.
Colorado law prohibits local officials and the county government, so folks who are working for the sheriff's office, folks who are working at the jail, in the courthouse, and the PD, prohibits them from sharing information relating to person in connection with Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Swallow also explained that it's reasonable to assume that ICE could have found out about her client without the involvement of anybody from the criminal justice system.
They checked, I'll tell you, the docket is public. So like if they saw a Spanish-sounding name, a traffic case of some kind indicating that my client maybe didn't have a valid driver's license or there was a question about it because he had a traffic case, and knew that he was set at 11 a.m., which is when the interpreter docket is. All of that is generally public information.
When asked, Sherman Perez gave a very similar answer.
The court dockets, basically, are public records. So anyone can get online and look to see, oh, tomorrow's court, who has to appear for court. And so we believe that there's more or less profiling going on. Anyone can get online and they can look and see the names of individuals going to court, usually in Montrose in the 7th Judicial District on Mondays and Tuesdays. That's when the majority of people who need Spanish language interpretation show up. And so we're seeing several cases where individuals show up for their court and ICE is there waiting. So they go through and they see, oh, there's, someone with four Spanish, names. This is likely someone. Let's run them through our system and see if there's a hit. And we also believe that either somehow they're watching virtually on the court hearings to see what people are wearing, or else there's actually someone located inside the court. We don't know that for a fact, but they have to. There's something going on there, and so whether it's direct communication or not, they're figuring out the system so that they can follow people and detain them afterwards.
Mm-hmm. After Swallow posted about her client's arrest on social media, she received some comments stating that the arrest was fair and warranted because he had not only broken immigration law, but pled guilty to another crime in county court. I asked how she felt about those comments.
I would respond first by saying immigration issues are typically civil offenses. And I say typically, like the law and case law says that an immigration detainer request, all of that is a civil matter. It's something akin to, I don't want to compare it to a parking ticket, but it is something that typically has been punished by fines and not imprisonment. So that's thing number one. Thing number two is that when something like this happens, it creates a lot of uncertainty around what expectations are. And so, for example, my client yesterday, yes, was charged with an offense in the county court. However, he was attending court. He was signing up for probation. He was trying to follow the court's order and follow the law with respect to what's required of him. So we are putting people in a double bind where we want them to accept responsibility for their alleged criminal offenses or whatever it might be. But we make it impossible to do so when the fear is spontaneous detention, 5 hours driving away. My client is somebody who wanted to live and work here. Mm-hmm. And yes, ended up entering a plea in the county court, accepting responsibility for his actions. I don't think that detention without warning is a fair result in any way, shape, or form. It might be a different thing if somebody, well, and I don't want to speak in hypotheticals, but we just put people in an impossible position. He signed up for probation. He was doing all the things he was supposed to do. And he's not able to follow the state court's order because he's now in ICE detention.
Right.
So,
yeah. I asked Sherman Perez for her input on the comments as well.
Yeah. Immigration is very complex. It's not black and white. Life in general is not black and white. I think the larger issue is that ICE is coming into our community. It's violating our state laws. And ICE officers are kidnapping our community members. And so I would ask these people who are making what I would say aren't very nice comments to consider how they would feel if their child made a poor decision, which landed them in court. And just imagine that that child fulfilled their legal requirements. They showed up to court. They paid their fines, took responsibility for their actions. But on the way home, they were stopped by ICE, an unlawful stop. And within less than a minute, their child was kidnapped. They were snatched away. How would they feel if this was their child or a member of their family? And so I think it's important to think bigger picture because our immigration system is broken. If people had a way to come here legally, if all people had access to immigrate here legally or do it the right way, as people say, it would be different. But these types of activities, they terrorize communities, they rip family apart, and they just cause unnecessary fear and anxiety.
That's all for today's episode of Local Motion on KVNF. This week, we explored how immigration enforcement is playing out here on Colorado's western slope and the legal gray areas that leave us searching for answers. Thank you to Alita Swallow, Beatriz Garcia, and Karen Sherman Perez for sharing their time and insight on a complex and deeply personal issue affecting many of our neighbors. As these issues continue to unfold both locally and across the country, KVNF will keep you informed of how it impacts our community. I'm Audrey McCabe. Thanks so much for listening. Local Motion airs Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and Saturdays at 10 a.m. You can find this episode and more anytime at kvnf.org under the Local Motion tab or on Spotify.